say good evening to everyone. Good evening. And I'm giving my love to you again. Thank the Lord for this opportunity. I hope when I leave here, I want to have assurance that I did everything like Paul said. He wanted to finish the ministry that the Lord had given him. I want to finish that. So I'm not here to be seen, but I want to finish the ministry that God has given me to do. Pray for me. And tonight, this thought that I have, if you don't feel like you need it now, just keep it in savings. Because somewhere along the line, it'll be some good. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before you again, dear Lord. Yes, dear God. And oh, how dependent we are upon you. We ask you, Lord, that you would have your way and that you would anoint your word tonight in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. The thought is the tongue. And I have, the Lord's been giving me this several, I think it's been, well, I can't really say when he initially gave it to me, but it's not just tonight. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5. Starting at 1, we'll read 1 and 2. Well, 1 to 7. I would like if someone would read for me.
More ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few.
We're going to read down to 7.
For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou... let me turn over there, sir. That thou shouldst not vow, than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God.
All right, a tongue. Sometimes I think that we might feel like we can say what we want to say. It's a free country, right? And we could, if I want to say it, I'm going to say it, right? But when we look into the Word of God, we realize that we can't do that. Here in this scripture, it even portrays a person who's careless with their words as a fool. It says, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So we don't want our words. We cannot justify ourselves for just saying what we want to say. And so we are going to be responsible for every word. So that means then that we need to be careful. Our words can have lasting effect on people. Sometimes parents, as parents, we feel like this is my child and I can tell him what I want to tell him. And I can say to you, that's dumb. You heard people say things like that. Or you can't, you know, you just ignorant, or you can't do anything. Look at you. Look at this mess you made. All kinds of things. People use their words, and sometimes because the person is near to us, we might not be as careful as we are. Sometimes when we go to church, we know how to put on our manners, right? And we're not going to just say what we want to say. But sometimes right there in our home, we get careless. With the people that's closest to us, we can get careless with our words. And we could feel like that's my whatever, my spouse or whatever, and I can just tell them what I want to tell them. But those words that we say can have a lasting effect on people. Some words that we say can be healing, and they can be a blessing. But some words we say can be damaging. And sometimes it's hard to take words back. I remember Sister Catherine Williams. Some of you don't probably know her. But I remember her preaching a message one time, and she was talking about something like your words. It's like feathers, you know. You have a pillow full of feathers, and you go shake it out in the wind, and those feathers are going to go all different ways. And you try picking that up and bringing those back. You might get some of them, but you won't hardly get them all. And the damage is done. Those words can be very damaging. We need to be careful of the words that we say. Let's go to Proverbs 16:1. Some of this that we just read over in Ecclesiastes, we will probably return, because there are some things about our words that we need to address. But right now, Proverbs 16:1, if you have it, read it, please.
The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
You know, it just shows you how important we need to be careful with our words. In 15, we will read Proverbs, same book, Proverbs 15:1-2.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
So you see, again, the scripture tells us that the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. We don't want to be considered a fool in the sight of God because of our words. So we have to be so careful of the words we say. Proverbs, again, 25:11. And here, and in this scripture that we just read, it says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, before we go to the next scripture, sometimes we're trying to prove our point, and the thing just gets worse and worse. It's better to just be quiet or speak in a soft way, because sometimes we're trying to elevate our voice over the other person, and those words just get one word and another word, and it's harmful. We don't want to do that. Proverbs 25 and 11. Can you imagine that? Beautiful. Don't you know that our words can be healing? It can be the right word at the right time. And we need to even, I want to stress this, even in our homes, because sometimes we're more careful with other people than we are with our family. So we need to have that. You know, some of you remember my mother, right? She was not a person to do a lot of talking. I would say she was a person of a few words. But her words were gentle and kind. I don't remember her ever. Can you imagine a person raising four children and never raising their voice? I can't say that I didn't raise my voice, but I sure had that example before me. She was kind in her words and firm. That didn't mean she just let you just run over, but she knew how to work with you in a kind and gentle way. Let's go to Judges. Now, we want to talk a little bit about being rash. Sometimes it's easy just to say something. But that scripture that we read earlier, the first one, be not rash with thy mouth. Weigh out the words that we say. Be careful with what we say to one another. Judges 11, and let's start at 29. This is an example, and it's a sad example of being rash, making promises. When that scripture say, it's better not to vow than to vow and not keep. Don't just rashly make a promise to the Lord. You know, sometimes you might be guilty of maybe you say, you know what, I ate too much chocolate cake today, right? And you can get rash with that and say, well, Lord, I won't eat any more chocolate cake. No. Was that needful? Sometimes we can make those kind of promises to the Lord, and we don't need to make those promises. And if we are rash with our words, we've made a promise that we're bound by, and it was not called for. It was not necessary. We need to be careful when we make promises to God. Did you get that? Judges 11 and 29. We'll read to 36.
Someone else can read. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. He passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands.
Can you stop just a minute? Listen to that vow that he made. Do you think that was a necessary vow? It don't even make sense when you think about it. whatever comes out of my house, the doors of my house, to meet me. If you deliver us in this battle, whatever comes out of the house, my house, to meet me, shall be the Lord, and it shall be offered as a burnt offering. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Who's going to come? It's going to be a person, right, to meet him. You think a lamb or animal is coming out of his house to meet him when he get back? Not hardly. So why would he make a promise to God that if you deliver us from this, in this battle, then whatever comes out of my doors to meet me when I get back is going to be offered as a burnt sacrifice. Brash.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Read on.
And he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord to do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon.
You see what he did? His daughter, his only daughter, his only child, came to meet him. And so, as the story goes, he had to offer her a sacrifice. But as a sacrifice, I think he had to give her some time. She wanted some time. And he had to do this. But it was a totally uncalled for promise. We need to be careful, don't we? Because many times we can get in the emotion of a situation and we make a promise to God that we're going to be responsible for, and we shouldn't even make it. There was no reason for him to do that, and the poor daughter had to die because of his mouth. We shouldn't just say words also amiss. Sometimes you can just get to talking and you hardly, if somebody asked you what you said, you might not could even repeat it because you're just saying a bunch of words. Let's go to James 3 and 1. We don't want to say words out of place. We don't want to say words that's damaging. We have to be careful. We need to be careful with our words. Start at the first verse.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell.
Stop just a minute. Our tongue is so, can be very deadly. It can cause, I honestly believe a lot of relationships have been destroyed because of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people that are divorced today might still be together if it had not been for the tongue. We need to be careful. Or maybe some people in the congregation can be hurt and not even want to come back because of somebody's tongue. We need to be careful. Many, many people have been discouraged and destroyed because somebody's loose tongue, talking, just talking, talking. Sometimes it could be talking things that's harmful to them. Or maybe you're talking about other people. Maybe a person would have confidence in that person, but because you run them down, you have destroyed their confidence. Many, many things have been destroyed by the tongue. So it says it is a fire. The tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It's little. It's tiny compared to the rest of us. If you measure our tongue against our body, it's very tiny. And it was talking about the ships and how they're turned with a small helm. Same way with the tongue. So we need to be careful, don't we? You could read on, please.
For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made of after the similitude of God.
Okay, stop just a minute. Think about that. When we go to service, we're praising God, right? We're blessing God. Then if we turn around and use our tongue against other people, we're in this situation right here. Using our tongue to bless God, and then using our tongue also to curse mankind. And do you know how much value people are to God?
That's right.
Every single one of us has great value to God. But somebody can take that little tongue and curse that person or speak against him, and God's not pleased. You know, it's better not to say it. If you're going to destroy a person, it's better to keep our tongue. Let's read number 10.
Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom.
Okay. So if you're going to be wise, if we're going to be wise, let's speak words that would show wisdom. Because when we speak out of turn, it doesn't show wisdom. So we need to be careful, don't we? And we don't want to be an offense to somebody. Proverbs 18 and 21. We do not want to offend. That once that scripture says that if we don't offend, it's like we're a perfect man. If you can not allow your words to offend someone, to the Lord, it considers that is perfection.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Read that again.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Isn't that amazing? It can bring life or it can bring death. Our words can. And so if we go back to that, James, it said, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what bridle means? That's putting it in control, isn't it? So we need to put our words in control. And not just say what we want to say or say what we feel like we should say. I feel like it, so I'm saying it. No. Let's bring our, you know, just like when you say, okay, I need to be temperate. I should be careful with my food I eat. We need to be careful with our words. Bring it under control. Okay, so we have Colossians 4 and 6. Sometime when I'm eating, I love sweets. I have to say, I love sweets. And I have this low blood sugar, and sometimes I need sweets. That's one thing. But sometimes I can have that pie. Remember that? Peach cobbler. It's so good. All right. And I would love to eat the whole part of it, but I didn't. I gave some of it away. I was being controlled, right? Like when the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, you have enough of these cookies. That's controlling it. Yes. Same with our words. Just let the Lord tap us on the shoulder and say, you said enough.
Amen. Let your speech be always seasoned with, always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Yes. Let our words be seasoned with salt. Some of our words are not seasoned with salt, are they? It's what I felt. I'm sorry. I have the right to tell you just how I feel about it. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not in God's economy. Yes, we can do it in the world, but when we're living for God, we need to do better than that, right? Amen. Let's go to I'm going to skip some, y'all. Now, I want us to go to Matthew 22 and 32. We are going to be responsible for our words. We will meet those words in the judgment.
22 and 32?
Mm-hmm.
I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
I may have written it down wrong. So, because sometimes, you know, I hit the wrong number. But the scripture says that thou shalt give an account of our words in the judgment. That's the one I was looking for. When we get to the judgment, every word that we say, we're going to give an account to God for it. I don't know where it is. But anyway, we'll just let that be right there. So, also, we're responsible for the promises that we make to God, but we're also responsible for the promises we make to people. If I tell you that I'm going to call you tomorrow at such and such a time, and I forget to call, I'm responsible to let you know. Sometimes we make promises to people, and it's an honest mistake. I didn't mean to. Or I say, I'm coming over to see you tomorrow. I had all intentions of doing it, but something happened. I couldn't do it. We don't just say, oh, well. We need to call the person and let them know I had all intentions of coming, but something happened. I'm sorry. So let's plan it for another time. But don't say anything, go about our business, and just, it's like, don't care. Okay, would you read it, please?
But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
So you see, we can't just go on and on and on and say things about people or things that we are not say. We are going to be responsible for the words we say. That's what happens. People like sometime a juicy thing or something that's maybe about somebody. Well, did you know so-and-so this happened or that happened? Let's be careful what we are explaining and the purpose that we're explaining it. Now, we can tell about things for prayer. That's not gossip. I need you to help me pray. Let's pray for so-and-so. This happened or this that happened. But if I'm telling it for gossip, you know, it's juicy and I'm telling it, you know, gossip and bad things tend to spread easy. But something that's nice and good, that may not get out there. But God wants us to be careful because we're going to be responsible for all our words. And sometimes we do say a lot of idle words. Sometimes even joking. We have to be careful. You know, I don't think that we have to be so rigid that we can't say something, maybe tell a little something that happened that's funny. But we have to be careful with jesting and joking. Because if I say, well, I bought these shoes at what, a very elaborate place, and the shoes are kind of, you know, rugged. You know, we say that, and it wasn't true. We're just saying it because it's funny. We have to be careful with those things. Because is it true? If it's not true, we have to be careful. Let's read Ecclesiastes 5:2-6.
Ecclesiastes 2, 5 through 6.
No, 5, 2 to 6.
Okay.
I think that's in that same scripture that we read earlier, right?
Yes.
So we're not going to, we'll omit that. Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 20. Chapter 23, verse 21 to 23.
And when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth.
Okay, so see, even it said a free will offering. It's better to just give it, you know, than to say, well, Lord, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And even when we make vows, we can say a lot of time, but to the Lord, we just need to be careful about making vows and make sure that that's a vow. Now, I believe if we make a vow to the Lord and say, Lord, I will serve you the balance of my days, that's a good vow. That's a good thing. But all of these other things, well, Lord, I'm going to give $100 Sunday. And then something happened and you need to have use that and you pay a light bill, your light almost get turned on, and you pay it. You made a vow. That was not necessary. It's better just to wait and give it than to make all these vows. Now, sometimes we do tend want to do that. Then when we make it, we're responsible for it. We cannot, it can be a sin to us. And what happens? Now, sometimes young people make vows. They're still under their parents. If you read in the scripture, it says that the father can kind of override that. That child was made a vow. They are under the parent. So the parent can say no, and God will have mercy in cases like that. I remember one time I don't know how old I was, but I was young in the Lord. And I felt I would make this vow, and I said, Lord, I'm going to fast for 3 days. I purposed to fast for 3 days. I don't know if I just said it to the Lord, but I purposed to. Got to go about 2.5 days, and I just couldn't. I went on and ate. Then I feel bad the next day. I just start. Well, I'm going to start again. So, Sister Catherine, she was a good mentor for me and my mother. She said to me, she said, Doris, she said, God didn't put that on you. You did. And she let me know I need to stop that. Well, I was under her. So, I obeyed her because guess what was happening to me? I was losing weight, trying to do something that I thought I should do, you see. So we do want to be careful with our vows, but when we're young, when they're young, and if they make vows like that, the ones older over them can intervene. And God will have mercy in cases like that. Another thing, we should be honest with our words. We should not be dishonest. You know, you can say part of something to give an impression of the thing is one way when it's another. You can leave out certain part and just say so much. And then, you know, you can be dishonest. So we have to be careful that way too. To be, one scripture said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. So what you have to say, let it be fully honest. And then we want to let our words exemplify Christ. And in that, we're going to be kind, gentle, and show forth the graces of Christ in our words. And the last thing I feel like we need to think about is how we answer people. Sometimes somebody may come to you and ask you a question, and you feel like you got to give them an answer. But sometimes it's better for you to stop and not answer it. Jesus didn't always answer all those questions. And one time, I want us to read this. In John 8, and starting in the third verse. And let's read to 7. This is how Jesus handled a question. He was silent even when he was before Pilate and before the Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. He was silent. Sometimes he would not answer. We don't have to answer every question.
Amen. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
See how Jesus handled that? Sometimes we might need to write on the ground before answering, because we need to make sure that our answer is, you know, it doesn't hurt to whisper a prayer and say, Lord, give me wisdom what to say to this situation. But whatever we do, we want our words to be pleasing to the Lord, words that will build people and not destroy them. Words that will exemplify Christ. Words that will be pleasing in the sight of God. Pray for me.